Hello again, listeners. Welcome to another exciting episode of Standing Post. We are pleased to introduce to you our first guest of 2021. She is a Uniform Division Lieutenant who manages the K-9 program under the Special Operations Division for the Uniform Division of the Secret Service. She discusses her roles and responsibilities within the division, but also discusses her career as a Latina woman in a federal law enforcement agency. Now, please welcome to the show, Uniform Division Lieutenant Maria Ruano. Welcome to the show, Lieutenant Maria Ruano. I appreciate you joining us and talking to the listeners today about what you do for the organization. And again, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join me. Do you mind introducing yourself to the listeners?
Sure, absolutely. My name is Maria Ruano. I'm a lieutenant with the Uniform Division. Currently, I'm assigned to our K-9 unit in D.C.
Well, thank you again for joining us. With all my guests, I just want to kind of get some background regarding who you are, where you grew up, because I think it's important that we're made up of different people throughout the organization from different places, kind of show those that may be out there that want to join up, that they too have the opportunity to join this great organization. So I guess to start, where do you call home?
Well, I was actually born in Guatemala. However, I grew up in the South Florida area, so I'm originally from Miami, Fort Lauderdale area.
Okay, and what is there anything unique or any characteristics or culture that's very specific to the area you grew up? Is there anything that you'd like to tell the listeners?
It was quite an adjustment coming from South Florida to D.C. Obviously, in South Florida, we don't have winter months. So that was quite a change for me. I think after 14 years being here, I'm still somewhat adjusting. But it's very similar to the D.C. area. It's very diverse. Still, after all these years, still tend to call it home. However, I've been here this long, but it's a great place to grow up in.
Okay. And is there anything you miss? Is there something that you always kind of go back to or, you know, anytime you go back to the area?
The food.
Okay. No, fair enough. Yeah, I was down there for a week or two in the Miami area. And yeah, the food was fantastic.
Right. Yeah, and the weather, you can't beat.
No, absolutely.
That warm.
Well, I guess that's the other thing I wanted to bring up too is what's your story? How did you find out about the Secret Service?
So I was actually heard about it from my college. They were having a career fair at the time, and I was also at the same time applying to several police departments in South Florida. So when I heard the name, I thought, well, I didn't know that that's how they recruited. I'd heard of the Secret Service, obviously, but I didn't know how one would even go about getting a job there. And then they had the career fair, and I thought that would be a great agency to join, especially at the time I was just out of college and I was applying to several police departments, and I'd probably already received about two no's. So I wasn't too encouraged that I was going to get a job with a local police department. So this actually worked out. It was great timing.
Awesome. And have you always had your eyes set on law enforcement, or did you do other things before applying to these organizations?
So I did. I went to school for criminal justice, and I've always had a desire to work in law enforcement. However, I think since I was 18, I think I started working at an interior design firm in South Florida. So I actually did that from the time I was 18 until I was about in my late 20s, until I got the job with the Secret Service. So very different. However, I was going through school, and I was just waiting for the right agency or the right police department to make a career out of. So yeah, very different career fields.
And I know that you've applied to some other to other organizations, but ultimately, you know, you had the final decision on joining the Secret Service. Was there a reason why?
So I think one of the main reasons was I wanted to be a police officer. I had no idea when I was applying that the Secret Service had a uniform division. When you hear about the Secret Service, you think protection, and you have a different mentality of what that job entails. So when I went to the recruiting event and they told me they had a uniform division side to the Secret Service, it was great to hear that they had, it was, you know, almost like their own police department, so to speak. So that in itself appealed to me very much.
Oh, excellent. And before you know, one of the reasons, well, there's a couple of reasons why I wanted to have you on the show was just, again, just from your background, very interesting person describing what you do today. But as we lead up to that topic, I'd like to maybe discuss some of the things you did prior to joining the Special Operations Division within the Uniform Division. You know, one thing that stood out, and again, you don't have to go into it in too much detail, but you were part of the Counter Surveillance Unit in the Uniform Division. Are you able to speak on that?
Sure, yes. It was by far one of the very many great assignments I've had with the Uniform Division. I mean, you know, I got to be undercover, so who doesn't like that? It was rewarding, and I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to work in that division. There was I was able to do a lot of assignments and travel all over the world, and I was actually able to work with various undercover units, so that was rewarding in itself. So some days it included running behind then Second Lady Jill Biden while she jogged in Georgetown, and some days I was flying over the motorcade routes overseas. So it wasn't the same thing every day, and it was a lot of travel, but it was very rewarding, and it was different, and I highly suggest to anyone I ever come in contact with on the job to definitely put into that unit. It's rewarding.
And just to emphasize those that may, again, just on the fence, maybe joining the Secret Service or those that are in, is it just one of the bidding processes, or are there certain credentials that maybe someone would need to obtain before putting in their request to join that unit?
So it is. It's a bidding process. So you do a couple of years on the Uniform Division, depending on which branch you end up going to. So you do a couple of years there, and then there's usually a time in service that they require for specialty assignments like that. Mm-hmm. But then you don't need prior experience. You don't need to have been undercover anywhere else or have anything like that. It's just the knowledge of the job and of the Uniform Division, and obviously some your police background. But it is a bidding, and you know, they take the most qualified individuals who get recommended by their superiors.
Oh, awesome. Okay. I mean, one more thing that I wanted to bring up regarding your background and your history with the organization is that you were part of the White House and Vice President's residence. Can you describe what a day in a life for a Uniform Division officer would be in those positions?
Sure. So at the White House, we protect the entire White House complex. So we do a lot of, on the exterior, we do a lot of traffic control, especially when there's motorcades coming and going. We also do a lot of access control, and that's in the interior of the White House. So anyone that comes in has to go through a rigorous security background check. And then once they enter the complex, we also do their access control. So we make sure no weapons are coming in or anything that seems dangerous. So we do a lot in the interior of the White House and also a lot on the exterior. So not just with motorcade or traffic control or anything like that. We also do conduct traffic stops. We make various traffic stops when, you know, some of those actually end up being arrestable offenses that they get pulled over for. So it's not just access control. I think a lot of people who may not be familiar with the Secret Service or the Uniform Division aspect aren't quite sure what we do. So it's basically security inside and outside. And the same thing with the Vice President's residence. We also make sure that we secure the area, the facility around the Naval Observatory, which is where the Vice President lives. Mm-hmm. And we also provide access control for anyone coming inside to either visit or come on the grounds or to see the Vice President.
Thank you for sharing that with me and the listeners. Yeah, absolutely. So at this point, I guess my next question would be, is going into the Special Operations Division, was it at what point in your career? Was it after your time with your time with the White House and Vice President's residence? Was that the time when you put in for the Special Operations Division?
Yes. So I also was at our training facility, our Rally Training Center,
okay,
which is where all of our recruits go through before they become operational. So I did an assignment out there for about a year, and then I was promoted to lieutenant. And then shortly after, they had an opening for a K-9 lieutenant. So I did the same process I explained to you. I bid for it, and I got the position on K-9.
Well, let me extend my congratulations, and congratulations on getting the position.
Thank you.
So with that, you know, getting into the organization, can you kind of give, I guess, well, first off, start off with like maybe a general overview of your duties and responsibilities so that the listeners can kind of get an understanding about the position?
Sure. So I am currently the K-9 lieutenant. I handle a lot of our operations. So I do a little bit of everything that involves our K-9s. I oversee our operations section, which deals with scheduling, traveling, any manpower requests, So any trip that the VP or president or the first lady, any of our protectees travel on, they are always going to request canine manpower. So I handle all of that and I oversee that alongside my, I have sergeants that are underneath me. And so I handle all of those logistics. I also handle canine's budget, which involves ordering all the equipment necessary to run the program. Most importantly, dog food and treats. But the unit's also very unique because you're not just dealing with an officer technician and the daily issues that come up with them, but you're also dealing with their canine partners as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that entails, you know, vet visits, the upkeep that you would normally have with the, a family pet, so to speak.
Okay.
So yeah, so we have 94 canine working dogs. So that means there's 94 officers that handle them, and it's And we also have, we have the largest fleet of vehicles because each officer gets a take-home government vehicle. So that's a lot of maintenance and upkeep, 94 vehicles. And yeah, so
basically it falls on you to be responsible for juggling the shifts and the requests and making sure that people are where they need to be at what time and deconflicting any issues out there regarding the shifts that the officers have to take with their canines.
Correct. Yes. And I don't do it entirely on my own. I oversee it. I have a great group of sergeants that work closely with me and to get everything done in a timely manner and make sure that we fill everything that we need. Cause we also provide, not just on trips, we also have our canines posted at the White House and at the Vice President's residence as well.
And just to reiterate and clarify, you are responsible for the training programs between the canine officer and the canine partner?
Yeah, so we oversee that too. We have a training facility in Laurel, Maryland. So that's where the Rally Training Center is. And they actually deal with the actual training of them. So we do all the scheduling of it, make sure that they get out to the training days and items that they need to hit every month to stay certified. But the actual, I don't actually work with the training. That's RTC instructor staff in Laurel.
Maria, the one thing I wanted to ask too is the canine program with the Secret Service has a relationship with the military, the Army, and the care and welfare of the canines. Is that correct?
Correct.
And as I was doing some research for this interview, it was brought to my attention that there actually is an understanding or some training that actually involves the officers having to be able to perform basic level, not ambulatory care, but like first aid to their partners. Is that true?
Yes. That's actually a fairly new program. It was started right before I came onto the unit, but we've been able to get it up and running with the help of one of our technicians who leads it and one of our sergeants who was also leading the program. And we are actually just completed our second training course with our new recruit class that actually just became operational today. So we're teaching them, it's called the Canine Paramedic course. So we're teaching them those skills that they need should they need to render first aid to their canine. Believe it or not, we did not have anything like that. And, you know, they saw the need for it and came up with the program and implemented it. And so far it's been great. And it's something that the unit definitely needed.
In a previous episode, I spoke with Officer Jay Castro and his canine partner, Willie. And we actually discussed a little bit about the healthcare the canines receive through partnerships with the military. For those that may have just joined us in the last couple of months, can you remind or tell the listeners about those partnerships?
So we work with Fort Belvoir. So they provide all of our veterinary services, all of our standard shots, standard visits that they would need to go see. Fort Belvoir handles all of those veterinary. We have a contract with them. So if they need to go to get a tooth pulled or they have a rash or they sprain something, that's where we take them, is to Fort Belvoir.
Lieutenant Ruano, I kind of want to steer back to your career here. What drew you to the canine program under the Special Operations Division?
Well, I do like dogs. I was never an operational officer or sergeant, so I've never had a working canine dog. As you know, I think SOD, which we fall under the umbrella of Special Operations Division, they handle all of our specialty teams. They have, it's canine, counter sniper, ERT, which is our emergency response team. And then we have Hammer, and we also have our newly acquired SRU, it's our specialized rifle unit. So all these specialty teams fall under the Special Operations Division. And I'd never been operational in that sense with any of these teams, but it was always, you know, you think of like the elite teams of the uniform division, and those were it. So I was always impressed with the amount of training that any of those teams go through. And it's not just the initial training, but they consistently need to attend training to maintain their proficiency. And that just takes a lot of dedication, and it just always seemed like a great unit to work with. So I was happy that they had an opening and I was able to get selected for it.
I guess for the listeners, is there one thing that you can think of that is unique to your position that they may not know about?
No, I think the only thing I can think of is that I think being the lieutenant that oversees all of the operations, and I'm not the only lieutenant, there's two lieutenants assigned, but when I came over, I had no canine experience. Mm-hmm. So that in itself was a challenge to learn everything. But and I think historically this position was filled with a lieutenant who had some prior canine handler experience at some point in their career. So I think it helped to see things as an outsider. And I think that definitely brought a fresh look to the unit, in my opinion. I hope that I'm making great strides for the unit. And I do think I've been here about a year and a half, and I do think that canine unit as it stands now is so much different and so much has improved, and we've just modernized a lot of our, you know, the way we do things and our process. So I think we are headed in a great direction. So I think that's what a unique thing that maybe I brought to the table is that I wasn't seeing it as someone who had once worked a dog in the division.
At the end of the day, you know, what would be, or what can you describe as the best part of your job?
I guess the best part of my job, I think, is that I get to see dogs every day. It's impressive the amount of work that goes into training these dogs. We have amazing canines and technicians, and it's rewarding watching them work and train, and to watch the canines, how quickly they can detect explosive odor and then alert their handler is nothing short of amazing. It's just that, you know, if you have a family pet, I mean, you see the nuances that go around how dogs, you know, pick up on certain things, but this is just a different level of how much training goes into these dogs that they're able to pick that up. And not only that, but the handler also has to be greatly in tune with their partner to notice these change in behaviors.
So being within the Special Operations Division and being, you know, being promoted to lieutenant, and I know you got to do some time within that section, but I kind of want to ask what your future aspirations are for yourself in the uniform division.
So I plan to continue moving up in rank. So fingers crossed on the promotion process next year. I'm very much enjoying my time on K-9, but the uniform division has certainly grown in the last 3-4 years, and there's a lot of opportunities out there, especially at the lieutenant rank. So I hope to move on. I've always said that I like moving on once I know that I've left it in a better, you know, the unit in a better place. So, but I'm definitely enjoying my time here on K-9. So I don't foresee myself going anywhere, but I do plan on moving up in rank. So we'll see how the promotion process goes next year.
Okay. Well, then I'll have to ask the question, and you don't have to answer because I don't want to jinx yourself, but we shooting for chief?
Sure. I mean, we haven't had a female chief. So that would be, yeah, I mean, maybe. We'll see.
Well, but everybody's heard it here first, so I'll hold you to that because once you make chief, I'll have to have you back on the show again.
Yeah.
Maria, I feel like you're in a unique position where you're at in life as a lieutenant in the uniform division. And I wanted to ask you some questions about being a woman in the uniform division, especially in the Special Operations Division. For women that are considering joining that division, do you have some perspective for them, some things that, like, what opportunities do they have within the Special Operations Division?
They actually have all the same opportunities. They're all available to females and males alike. I'd love to see more women in this branch. Currently, we have one female officer on our counter sniper unit, and we have about 14 females on K-9, and then 2 on the newly acquired SRU. So, I mean, not huge numbers, but there are females on there. I think sometimes the females may shy away because they see the image of counter sniper and ERT. But you know, I'm a strong believer that we can do anything that our male counterparts can do. A lot of these units do require a PT test, and they all have to some extent a very rigorous training program. But I don't think that should ever dissuade anybody. Females are just as strong, if not more, than our male counterparts. But I do hope that as we continue hiring more individuals with diverse backgrounds, we'll be able to increase our numbers within SOD to include more females. I think that it would be great to have higher numbers than what we currently have, and I think we're in a good heading in that direction. So I think definitely the more individuals we hire, I mean, when I was at our training facility, I mean, we had females who were, you know, played sports or, you know, professionally mm-hmm. and had, you know, the capacity to, you know, just blow those, would get all those PT awards, and they far superseded males in that fitness category. So I do feel that sometimes it's, you know, that may be why they shy away from it, but I think absolutely they can pass any of it. And but I do think that we need to increase our numbers, so to speak.
Well, yeah, definitely. And that's one of the reasons why, again, I wanted to have you on the show, is because, you know, by talking about it and going through and letting us know, you know, your path and journey, that, you know, these opportunities are available for everybody. So I greatly appreciate you being able to impart that on everybody. Maria, being in your position as lieutenant for the K-9 program, has there been any initiatives that you want to talk about, things that maybe that you're doing to improve the quality of life or operations for the people that you lead?
So yes, I think myself and upper management, and we're trying to increase our numbers and get more training classes through every year. That's definitely helped us. It's one of our longest training classes that the uniform division has. It's one of our longest training programs. So we're definitely working hard to increase our numbers. So that will help. I mean, right now we're standing at 94 total working canines, which is a great number, because I think when I came on about a year ago, it was drastically lower. But we're working hard to get more training classes, and that in itself will relieve some of the manpower issues that we do at times face. So that's definitely something we're working on. As far as for the canine unit as a whole, we're also working to increase our numbers for our PSCO program. And it's our personnel screening canines open area program. It's not very widely known. It's an amazing program. It's fairly new. It started June 2014. They piloted the program for canines to detect large person-borne explosive threats. So some people may have seen the canines on Pennsylvania Avenue when it was still open, so that's a different program. But they're commonly referred to as vapor canines, a huge asset, especially with the crowds that we're, you know, pre-COVID, we were used to getting at the White House. Mm-hmm. So we're currently working with upper management to increase that program and get more numbers. So that's something that we're looking forward to in 2021 to hopefully get there and get more numbers overall on the PSCO program and then on our EDT, our explosive detection team.
So I want to kind of shift the conversation to a kind of a diversity conversation about your life. You are a Latina woman in the Secret Service. Can you kind of maybe describe what life was like when you first joined the organization?
Sure. So there was a lot to learn those first few years. I came on in 2006. Mm-hmm. At the time, you didn't see very many women in higher ranks, especially minority women. I think that we've made great strides. I mean, we had our first female deputy chief last year, I believe, or a year and a half ago. So it was a transition for sure. I think that especially in law enforcement, it's a very male-dominated environment. So you have to learn. I guess I came from an interior design field. You know, it wasn't mm-hmm. law enforcement at all. So you do have to learn the ins and outs of how law enforcement field works. And I think there's also like a common stereotype when you hear the Secret Service. You just think, you know, an image of a male in a suit and an earpiece. You know, and I think mm-hmm. that. It helps to see the other side of it, because, you know, it kind of breaks the mold. Like, okay, well, not just this person can be in the Secret Service. This person can also be in it and look a little different, you know? It took a little bit of learning, but it's, like I said, I think that the Secret Service has made great strides and kind of diversify the unit or the agency as a whole.
Well, I think that's important. I may be jumping a little bit ahead here, but now being on the other side, what can you tell you know, women or other minorities out there about being on the other side? What would you tell them?
Well, I strongly encourage them to keep moving up in ranks. especially if they're just starting out or thinking of joining the Secret Service, I think that you make that move and you apply for the job or you apply for that certain rank. But I do strongly encourage they keep moving up in ranks and filling these positions that are out there. I think it's encouraging to newer offices who are just starting to see women, minority women in particular, involved in the supervisor role and making decisions that actually affect the agency. I believe it's that this agency is one of the best out there, and I would love to see more women of any race gain these positions.
Maria, with your background and from, where you were born, where you grew up, and then coming to the States and joining a law enforcement program, that's a very unique and diverse background. What do you feel that you bring? Is there anything that you feel from that background that you bring to the table here with the Secret Service? Is there anything that you would want to mention or say to the listeners about that?
Yes. So I think what I bring to the table, I think I'm able to, my work ethic goes to show, and my parents were immigrants to this country, as was I, since I wasn't born here. So I think that I've worked very hard to become a police officer and to join the Secret Service. So my work ethic is something that I take pride in, and I've been able to bring that in any position that I've been in. I've been able to, I hope, excel and make good changes into. So hopefully my hard work and knowing from being from a, third world country, that I've been able to know that it takes a lot of hard work to actually make it in this country. And I feel that in baby steps, I've somewhat gotten there because I'm able to have a career with the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, I want to say thank you. And I think on behalf of the listeners, I really appreciate, bringing your background, your viewpoints, your thoughts regarding the Secret Service and what you've done and what initiatives and strides you made. But also too, and I guess this is probably a little selfish, but you were able to do that on this platform, and I greatly appreciate you taking the initiative and saying yes to join us today and talk and just be asked these questions about your life and what you do, because I think that makes one, the organization strong, but two, makes the podcast stronger, and people get to learn about your background and history. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Definitely. Thank you. I thank you. I'm glad that I was able to come on and share a little bit about myself and not just about the unit, or I think it helps to the public, I guess, and to see the human side of the people behind the service.
Maria, is there anything that you want to impart on to the Secret Service workforce, any parting wisdom or anything that you want to just let them know about before we end the show today?
Sure. I actually would just like to thank everyone out there working hard to complete our mission. I know firsthand the long hours worked and the sacrifices made at home. We're getting through a very historic year with COVID, the demonstrations that we had back in March in DC, and the elections that we just went through. I think we have a lot of amazing officers and agents as part of this agency that have been instrumental in completing our mission safely, especially in this year of uncertainty. So a huge thank you to them who are actually out there on the front lines and making sure that we complete our mission safely.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing that I do want to leave as we close this out, do you have any messages for the listeners out there that you kind of want to end with? Anything else that you want to say as we close out the episode?
No, I hope that to the listeners, I hope they've learned a little bit about the Secret Service, and if they've ever thought about joining, that this encourages them regardless of their background. And then for the agency, I hope they continue to listen to the women and men of the agency. I think we're headed in a very good direction, and we have a great team of individuals, officers and agents working for the Secret Service. So hopefully they'll keep providing input and feedback, and the agency continues to listen to the feedback.
Well, Maria, thank you very much. And again, appreciate you having on the show. I'd happy to have you back on again if you have any more short stories to share.
Sure, absolutely. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
For more information about the Secret Service or how to join, go to www.secretservice.gov. And until next time, listeners, stay vigilant.